Ephesians, please, chapter 2. The Ephesian letter, chapter 2. I want to read some scriptures with you, and this is the first one. Now, you would nearly think that Brother Brian here and I were reading the same book. And we were. It's the Bible. So I'm going to put the next layer on what he has been talking about. In fact, the very word I want to talk about is in that song. We have sung verse 2. I want to speak a word on desire. What's really your desire? Or mine, for that matter, as we face another day. So with that in mind, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, please, and we'll just read the pertinent verses. Notice verse number 2. For in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. There's statement number one. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Acts chapter 8 for the next reference, please. And you likely all know the story, so I'm reading as short a time as possible here. The man in verse number 28 is reading the book of Isaiah. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now look at the next statement. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now the rest of the story you know. See that statement, verse 31? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. 1 Peter chapter 2 is pretty obvious. I'd like to know all about that already. 1 Peter, please, chapter 2. Verse 1, wherefore, in view of what has happened and gone before, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire, here it is again, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I'll read one more in Luke chapter 22. There are all kinds of others we could read. Luke, please, chapter 22. Luke 22. Now we're in the upper room. Verse 14, Luke 22. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, get that? With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Same chapter. Our brother Ian quoted this last night. I'll read it to you. Verse 31. Luke 22, 31. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. He has pointed that out. That's all the apostles, all the disciples, that he might sift you as wheat. And of course, Peter is among them. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Satan hath desired to have you. May the Lord will bless what our brother Brian has told you and what we have read. The Creator God, in his sovereignty, allowed his creature to have a faculty, an ability to desire. Desire something. That is described what our brother is talking about. To desire someone. You look at that word and the meaning of it, you'll find out it's a very strong word. Every person has a yearning, a craving, a longing to do something or be somebody or be involved with whatever. See what I've asked you? What's your desire today? Why have we come to this conference? Well, somebody says I was invited. That's good. We're all invited. Now, what's really your desire? What do you want to get from this conference, from this session, apart from any other one? It's mentioned many times in the Bible. I was looking at the law of first mention. Let me just tell it to you. I didn't read it. The Garden of Eden. You know what the Lord said to Eve? And thy desire shall be to thy husband. That's a very interesting context. Then I looked at the other side of the spectrum. The law of last mention. You ever look at that? Revelation chapter 9. Men shall desire to die in that environment. But death will flee from them. They will have a yearning. They will have a longing. They will have a determination in their own mind and will, a desire that death would come. And it won't come. They will be upheld till the destruction in that day intensifies. Now, have you got the message? That desire, it's a longing. It's a yearning. Now let me bring it to where the rubber meets the road. I talked to a young believer here recently in another place. And I said to him, brother, really, when the chips are down and the bottom line is drawn, what's your desire for your life? Do you know what he said? I'm talking about a believer. And everything is in place. He says, Stan, I want to tell you something. I want to be the richest man in this whole area. What do you think of that? I asked another person, what's your desire? I'm longing for the day when I will be a multi-millionaire and sit back and take life easy. Now that's Luke 12. The rich farmer. You know, I'll put this to you, across to you in as simple and short a time as I can. I want to start with Ephesians 2. The desires of the flesh. That's where the grace of God found us. That's the sinful sinner that's in view. Now he's talking to believers. And he wants to magnify the grace of God and their experience. And what will do it is when they get back to where the grace of God found them. You pause this morning, all of us, especially those of us who were saved in mature days, where the grace of God found us. What kind of people were we anyways? Well, the prodigal son illustrates it in measure. Or a walk. How did we walk? Ephesians 2. If you have your Bible open, Ephesians 2, it's lying right on the surface. According to the course of this age. That's what's happening all around us. Just take a look. Can't look from wherever we come from. Same thing. There was a controller involved. The prince of the power of the air. That's the old devil. That's verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 2. What kind of people were we at anyways? Our character, children of disobedience. That's the prodigal son. Right there. Just think of those days before conversion. You might be saved a lifetime. But I want to get across to you today where the grace of God found us. See, the verses go on there to tell us. We had a craving. The desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's verse 3. I don't want to dwell on the negative, but I want to show you and magnify the God that we serve. Do you ever ask yourself, why were we ever caused to hear his voice and enter while there's room? We had cravings, we had desires of the flesh to do things that were not convenient. Some folk, Romans chapter 1 and so on. Our company, the verse tells you there, verse 3, children of wrath, even as others. We just pause this morning. That magnifies the grace of God in all our experience. If we look back over life, I can tell you this. On a Saturday morning, I would never have been found in a conference. I was no more interested than the man and the men. The cravings of our heart was to go the wrong way. That's Luke 15 all the way. Now let me just go up the other side for a minute and illustrate now the next point. A desire of a person to have help relative to salvation. Now, I won't go into all the story. I want to pick up the point. A desire for salvation. Oh, I remember so well the longing I had as a young man of 19 years of age when I longed for salvation. This is illustrated for us in the Ethiopian eunuch. Now watch how the evangelist handles this. It wasn't an angel that told him to go near to the chariot. It was the Spirit of God to join himself to the chariot. Notice how courteous he was. I tell you, there's nothing forceful here. Understandest what thou readest. The response. How can I accept some man should guide me? Here's the next statement. He desired. that this stranger that has come alongside train as he's going back there in the chariot to his own country to guide him. Now, this is not a gospel meeting, but I'll just give you the bottom line. Do you see when a person desires salvation, the best advice you can give anybody is to read the Bible. And this scripture, to read Isaiah 53. We were in a Bible reading not too long ago, and a beloved brother said, you know, brother, there never was a man saved in the Old Testament from the Bible. I said, what? I said, read Acts chapter 8. Oh, he says, I forgot about that. Isaiah 53 was used. And without condoning the thing, when the man presented the Lord Jesus Christ to use the Isaiah idea, Isaiah 53, he learned that day in the chariot that the Lord Jesus Christ was wounded for him and bruised for him and so on. He was fed up with religion and all the rest of it and coming back home empty and so on. You see, dear saints of God, timing is a very big thing in a conversion to God from the human standpoint. That's why I ask the Lord all the time for direction. Now, we can't save a person. We wouldn't try. But we have noticed in our years, over the days that have gone, that God so arranged circumstances to allow us to talk to a person. Now, somebody says, how do you know he was saved? Listen to his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's salvation. You think of those times, desires, man, a craving and a longing for to be saved. Now, we can't make people have that. We believe that's the Holy Spirit of God working. Here's another simple thought. You see, after you get saved, what's your desire? Well, Peter comes to mind right away. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Now, leaving all the other things out of the picture. Very, very simple. Somebody says, how do you know that you're saved? Well, one way, there's all kinds of ways, but one way is a yearning, a longing, a craving to read the Bible. People say, that's so simple, man, there's no point even talking about it. I want to tell you that in a busy world, from the early days to the latter days of living here, there's less time to read the Word than ever before. Have you a desire today to read the Word? That's what Peter says. To get the point across, we were at a conference here in another country, and the preacher said, I never read the Bible. And somebody says, well, what are you doing here telling us how to live? Never read the Bible. He says, man, there's no time to read the Bible. Do you not understand? And then he went on to say he had to take time. People say all the time, you don't understand what life's all about. They're so busy, there's so much from early morning to late at night, we haven't time to read the Bible. I want to ask you today, do you have a longing in your heart, a desire to read the Bible? That's a desire for the Holy Scripture. Now here's another side. Here's the desire of the Lord, the Savior. He's hours away from Calvary. He's in the upper room on the Passion Week. And soon it will be Gethsemane and Gabbatha and Golgotha. What does he do? Well, John, Peter and John have fulfilled their responsibilities. They're in the upper room. And he said to those 11 men and Judas, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. He knew the end from the beginning. He's the antitype. He's the one that will fill it. Slain between the evenings. And there, he died on the cross. But before he went, he inaugurates the New Testament institution of the Lord's Supper. I didn't read it. It's in the passage. When the last Passover was over. And I want to make the application to the Lord's Supper. I'd like to ask you, fellow believer, have you a longing in your heart, a craving, to make sure that you remember the Lord Jesus Christ in a corporate way on the first day of every week? I notice in some places that people are not as keen as they used to be. They'll go if it suits them. Every excuse in the book. I had to work all weekend. I got no sleep last night. Now, somebody says, well, if I go there, there's nothing for me in it. Well, what are you putting into it? God help us today to appreciate more than ever the desire in our hearts to be loyal and devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was in another country, I won't tell you where publicly, but I want to tell you this, dear saints of God, those dear people put me to shame. Raised in Buddhist homes, heard the gospel, saved by the grace of God. In assembly fellowship, they're totally devoted. Their desire is to honor the Lord in every facet of life. Leave home early, before 6 a.m., go direct to the meeting at 8 o'clock at night, 7 days a week, 7 evenings a week, and eat afterwards. Would you do that? Would I do that? There's a desire in their heart. Oh, I hope you got the message. Now let me pick up on what our brother Ian was talking about last night. Now, he didn't know that I was going to talk like this. I want to tell every one of us today the desire of Satan. Remember what he told us? He's right. They've been in the upper room. They're on their way to Gethsemane. The Lord says to his own, man, I want to tell you this. Satan has desired to have you, all of you. But he singles out Peter. And he says, Peter, I pray for thee. Now please notice, but Ian didn't point this out, but he knows, same as I believe. It's nothing to do with conversion. The Lord said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art turned around, is the word. Strengthen thy brethren. And there's no doubt that 1 and 2 Peter, he's doing that to our good day. And as our brother has pointed out, in a future day, in tribulation times. Dear brethren, the old devil's after us. Somebody says, I wasn't aware about that. How would I know? Now let me give you one or two examples before I sit down of how Satan works. The desire of Satan to ruin the work of God. Think of Acts chapter 5, for example. Here's Ananias and Sapphira in a large assembly in Jerusalem, thousands in it, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. The persecution up to this point was external, and the old devil was likely behind it. But now he uses different tactics. If you can't beat them, join them. And likely behind the desire of the flesh was the desire of Satan. See, Peter, I take it he never forgot it. Imagine somebody, a believer in the assembly, likely knew him, dropped dead at his feet. I tell you, I put the fear of God into anybody. And a short time after, his wife dropped dead too. Do you ever notice young men carried them out? Could we just suggest to the rising generation that in assembly life, God is greatly to be feared and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him? We sung last night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." If I got a grasp of that in my heart, and the company, maybe the casualness that we're involved with in our generation, it might be a deterrent to that way of life. See that person, Satan, who had desire was, he wanted to stop the work. Well, in Acts chapter 12, he allowed Herod to bring James, the first martyr of the 12, into eternity. Here's another thing. You see that time when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the boat on the Sea of Galilee, the Mark chapter 4 passage. Let me point out that a number of the people on board were fishermen. They knew that whole area in the sea for years. They were professional people, commercial fishers. They knew all about storms, but on this occasion, it's likely that the devil was behind it. He wanted, because the Lord Jesus Christ was on board, that the ship would go to the bottom. It would never happen. The desire of Satan to hinder the work of God. Do you know, with your sense of God, here's a very practical thing, and I have nobody in mind in this audience, by the way. Do you know, one of his greatest desires today is to bring discord among brethren. It's called division. 1 Corinthians shows beyond the shadow of a doubt that one of his greatest tools in the assembly at Corinth that was vibrant and helpful and strong and all the rest of it was to bring division among the people of God. We're not ignorant of his devices. He's still using it. There are all kinds of illustrations, but Corinth is the one in the assembly. Lord, help us to appreciate more than ever what's involved. Here's another one. Do you know the desire of Satan? He wants to stop the gospel. I'm telling you. I've been in countries recently where there are assemblies and there hasn't been a gospel testimony for years. They've closed the door. That's what the old devil wants. We're not ignorant of his devices. And as the coming of the Lord draws so near, we need to be up and vibrant and be involved in whatever way we can to spread the news of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, 30 minutes are up. There's all kinds of other things we could talk about. Could I get the point across to you as I sit down? What's your desire today? Now let's be honest. where the grace of God found us, the desire of a sinful person, a sinner. The desire for salvation, Acts 8. The desire for the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. The desire of the Savior, Luke chapter 22. The desire of Satan, Luke 22. The others will have to leave for another time. I'll just quote this one and sit down. See Romans chapter 10. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is, put in, wherever you come from, for Kamloops, is that the people from Kamloops might be saved. If you desire to see others saved, to see souls rescued, look at that desire in your heart. We'll finish on this point. See the prodigal? That day that he left home, he had a desire to sow his wild oats. Sometimes I point out, if the father would have come with a fatted calf that day and say, here son, take the fatted calf, he'd say, you've got to be joking. He had a desire, a craving for the far country. But when he came home, he gladly took the fatted calf. God help us to live for him. Thank you very much.